Welcome to the Mech Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015. And with me today, I have my partners in crime, Kelly Gaumont. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm awesome. And also Brian Chaffin. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, but yeah, you don't think you'll ever make those charges stick, see? Not your partner in crime. I'm really a partner. Yeah, see?
You know, and the pinstripe suit I'm picturing you in with the fedora, a proper fedora, not just a hat that where people think it's a fedora, but a proper fedora.
Mostly pedantic.
Mostly pedantic. That's right.
Yes. Hat. Is there like a hat dantic?
I think it's a subset of pedantic.
Oh, I see. All right.
Maybe it's like head antic.
It could be.
Yes.
God, this rabbit hole is dark. Let's get out of here.
No, I was thinking, you know, we could just kind of cuddle up and keep each other warm for a while. But whatever, Brian. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that is Casper, the awesome mattress company. Yay. And we'll be talking about them soon. So, you know, that's like a little foreshadowing for you. But first, I thought we could dive into something you wrote yesterday, Brian. And this is about Apple's plans for the Sapphire production factory that figuratively self-destructed under GTAT's control.
Well, yeah, the factory didn't necessarily. I don't know, maybe. Anyway, yes, mostly pedantic. So
that's why I said figuratively, just for you.
Apple owns this facility, this plant, this ground, this land, this building, this electric outlets, this structure down in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And it was a big deal, like a year and a half ago now, not even a year and a half ago, where they were building a Sapphire plant that was going to be operated by GT Advanced Technologies. We've talked about this quite a bit. GTAT could not deliver what they were supposed to deliver and ended
literally
up...
Literally and figuratively.
Correct. And ended up declaring bankruptcy, and it was a big deal. And it's a mess. But Apple still owns the facility there. And on Monday, the governor's office of Doug Ducey?
Mm-hmm.
Doug Ducey. Saying that name out loud, it has a slightly different ring to it than when I was just reading it. Anyway,
it has a Stan Lee feel to it.
It does, but more like, you know, Stan Lee's lesser known cousin, Dan Lee.
Right.
It doesn't really quite have that Stan Lee feel to it. Nonetheless, anyway, the office of Governor Doug Ducey announced that Apple was going to be turning it into a command center, and Apple did release a statement. So in other words, Apple didn't announce this. Apple did not put out a press release for it, but Apple cooperated with the governor's press release. And an interesting aspect of this is that when this whole business was going down with GTAT, Apple said at the time, this would have been in late 2014, that the company was going to do what it could to repurpose the facility with an eye towards preserving jobs. Mm-hmm. Because it was a big deal. There was lots of people that were going to be hired. Apple was doing all this stuff in the U.S. And apparently that dream is over. Apparently Apple is getting out of the Sapphire business. Doesn't it seem like that at this point?
It sure looks like it. I'm thinking that unless Apple finds other people that they can contract with to get the Sapphire they want for iPhones, I'm not expecting to see Sapphire in iPhones now.
Yeah, kind of seems like that.
I will say it doesn't, you know, they are still there are still going to be some sort of need for people to staff whatever a command center is. So it may not be the same employment, but at least there probably are going to be jobs available there.
Yeah, but it won't be anywhere near the same number of people.
Right.
GTAT had lots and lots of people working there.
Yeah.
So the command center, so Apple described it as a command center for its global network operations. And so it's going to be a data center, and they're going to power with solar projects that okay. Apple is funding, and I believe that means that Apple's actually building them. And supposedly it's going to result in the hiring of 150 employees, which would actually be quite a bit for a data center. And but there, of course, will be additional third-party people that are doing various support. There's going to be engineering. Sorry about that. It's the second time now in a row that I've not had my phone muted. There's going to be people that are doing various infrastructure engineering construction jobs, of course, will be short-term employment. Mm-hmm. And there you have it.
You know, I think it's pretty cool that when the whole thing with GTAT imploded and Apple said, hey, we want to do what we can to keep jobs in the area, that they first they said that, and then second, they followed through on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they've set it up to follow through until the production, or well, I guess construction for whatever changes need to happen and adding in the solar panels. Until that's actually happening, new jobs aren't there. So it's nice to see Apple sticking with the commitment and having the intention of moving forward. I'm certain they will follow through and they will have mm-hmm. this global data command center. Finished at some point.
But. Yeah, it's going to be. It seems like it's going to be a massive data center. But I really like this notion that it's a global command center. It just sounds all like I don't know, James Bondy or something.
Now, see, the image I have in my head is a recreation of the bridge of the Enterprise, and Tim Cook is sitting in Captain Kirk's chair.
He's speaking slowly.
Of course.
Excellent. Stilted.
With pauses.
Dramatically pausing. Yeah.
For dramatic emphasis. Yeah.
So there's another aspect to this. I didn't really get into this in my piece, but you know, one of the exciting things about what GTAT was doing, in addition to, you know, it being, you know, bridging this world of watches with smartphones, that was part of my interest in Sapphire. But in addition to that, it was Apple doing more manufacturing in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And at least in terms of this facility, that is apparently done. And that's kind of sad.
That is disappointing.
Yeah, it is. Because if this had all come together the way Apple had originally hoped, then that would be ongoing Sapphire production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there were supposed to be other things, you know. GTAT never did not have all of this huge manufacturing facility that Apple bought. So there were going to be some other things that were going on there too. And of course, Apple could still use part of this facility for those other things. We don't know that the global command center is going to. Is going to necessarily occupy all of the space. There are a lot of things that we don't know. But one of the things we do know is that it seems like Apple is not going to be doing manufacturing in this facility. And I hope that Apple can, in other ways, in other places, with other products, maybe bring some more manufacturing back to the States.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have any official word on where Apple Watch is being made. Do we?
No. Oh, except for the fact that this completely blows that theory that I had that it was being made there. I was obviously wrong.
Brian, this is how we know that you are in fact human.
It was bound to happen eventually.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah. So anyhow, it's sad to see that there won't be production happening there. But it is cool to see that Apple is working to make sure that there are still jobs in the area. So, yeah, so that's great. Hey, like I said, we have a sponsor today, and that mm-hmm. is Casper, the mattress company. And I know I've said many times that I'm a very pleased customer because I have horrible insomnia, and having one of their mattresses has helped me sleep better. And I have been using my Fitbit to track that for the past few months since I got my mattress. And I'm very pleased to see that there has been an improvement in my sleep patterns thanks to this bed. And so if you're not familiar with their mattresses, they do this dual layer memory foam and latex foam thing that gives you really good support without having you sink in and get stuck in the mattress. They offer really great pricing. So a mattress that would cost, say, $1,500 if you went into your local mattress retailer is going to cost you under $1,000. For example, their king-size mattresses top out at $950. I ended up with the queen-size, which is $850, and I'm very pleased with that. But you can get one for even less because Casper has a special $50 discount code for all of our Daily Observations listeners. All you have to do is go to casper.com/TDO. And you can get $50 off any of their mattresses. So the $850 mattress I have could cost you only $800.
That's how much I paid for it.
Yeah,
I used the TDO code as a customer and ordered a queen size mattress, paid $800 for it, and it's one of the best purchasing decisions I've made in the last year.
See, there you go. Yeah, absolutely wonderful mattresses. They'll ship right to your door. And so the farthest you have to go to get your mattress is your front door, which I think is fantastic. So head over to casper.com/TDO and order yourself a mattress, get yourself a $50 discount, and start sleeping better right away. And thanks to Casper for being our sponsor this week.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. So the other thing that I wanted to take a look at today is the news that Bob Bridger, who is Apple's vice president of retail real estate, is planning on retiring. Now,
he's the guy that's been doing all the deals for all these years.
Yes, yes. He came on board after Ron Johnson was hired to launch Apple's retail store program. And Bob was brought on to handle finding locations, getting the leases on the property, coordinating the construction. And so he's been a very active and very critical part of Apple's retail expansion and creation. And it sounds like now he may be leaving. There is no official statement yet, but apparently he told his colleagues during a meeting a few days ago that he's planning on retiring.
Yeah, and you know, so there could be any number of reasons for it. Could be that Angela doesn't like him. Angela Ahrendts, the current retail person. It's probably not the case. It could be. Could be that he's just, you know, he's been working his posterior off for the last 10, 12 years now.
10 years, I believe.
That, you know, I cannot imagine how hard someone in his position works when they're working at Apple.
And especially considering how aggressively Apple has grown its retail presence.
Yes. And it could be that there's just been a lot of changes. He's the last one, right, from the Ron Johnson era?
Yes.
Last bigwig, that is.
Yeah, the last of the three vice presidents that were working directly mm-hmm. with Ron Johnson.
By the way, bonus points to anyone who went to Watership Down in their heads when I said bigwig.
I'm betting we have a few listeners that totally got the reference.
That's where I went. I didn't intend for it, but that's exactly where I went in my head. So, you know, and it could be that, but I actually think it's another reason why he's left, and that's simply because Apple retail is entering a new phase that is a lot less focused on expansion and a lot less focused on remaking the stores in Angela Ahrendts' image and preparing for the Apple Watch. And that this is going to be the focus for the next several years. And maybe even it's a combination of all those things.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, it's possible. And you're right. The focus that Apple has on retail right now does not seem to be aggressive growth like it has been in the past.
Right.
It's in more of a refinement phase now.
And this gentleman, Mr. Bridger, can go and work anywhere he wants to at this point. His success with the Apple retail, his success in negotiating these leases, and this is a this is high dollar, high pressure stuff. Mm-hmm. He can take that anywhere the heck he wants to.
That's true. He's probably made enough money that if he just wants to quite literally retire, as opposed to retire from Apple and go somewhere else, he can probably just.
Yeah, did we talk about this yesterday in the show, or was this in a meeting where someone said, it might have been Dave, said something to the effect of that the people that are doing this at this level aren't doing it for the money. Because right. They've all made, by now, after a few years of working for a company like Apple at the VP level, you are a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy person. And to keep busting your butt like that, for very few of them, it's going to be a money issue at that point. It's about the ego. It's about the accomplishment. It's about the challenge. It's about mm-hmm. being, working with all these other, 0.1 percenters in terms of ability, and being able to hang with them and go toe to toe with them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So the takeaway that I get from that is he doesn't need to leave for a better paying job.
Right.
He can do whatever he wants.
Right. Yeah. The real question, the thing that makes this interesting is, is he leaving because Angela Arendt wanted him gone? Is he leaving because he didn't like Angela Arendt? Or is this really some sort of combination of he's been doing this, he's tired and he's ready to do something else, and Apple's emphasis is different? That is the question to me. And I really do think it's just because his skill set is not needed like it was.
And see, I'm curious about the definition of retire, because he may just be bringing his tenure at Apple to an end, but he may be going someplace else where it is more aggressive, like you were talking about with expansion. It really seems like, at least in Portland, it really seems like the refinement is the important piece in Apple retail right now, because we've sort of gotten two new Apple stores in the last year. We had one, and what it was we had two that were in malls that were basically glorified hallways, because they were very narrow and very low and sort of cramped. And then when you add to that the fact that it's an Apple store, it was always crowded. It was horrible. Like, I'm not a claustrophobic person, and I couldn't spend very long in either one of those stores. And now we have two new, much larger, beautiful ones that have a lot more space. There's room for many more things. You guys saw pictures of the new Apple store downtown. It's not even in Pioneer Place anymore. It's its own. It was the last one that Steve approved personally. And the experience of that is very, very different than what it was when they were in the basement of Pioneer Place. So the refinement thing seems to be something that's been going on for a while, which I've been sort of interested in seeing, just in the changes in the other store, which literally moved across the hall from where it was, but is much larger and has a very different feel than what the first one did. And so refinement could be it. What I'm curious about, I think what will inform my assessment of this, is finding out whether or not he's going to go anywhere else, or whether he's actually retiring the way most people mean retiring, and he's just going to like hang out at home and spend more time with his money.
Or his family.
Or both.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways. my guess is that there isn't any bad blood, so to speak, with this retirement. Right. Because if this was something where Angela just really wanted him gone, I'm guessing, if for no other reason but then to be a strategic move, he would not be telling people, yeah, I'm getting ready to retire.
Right.
It would just be everyone's quiet, the announcement goes out, and then he...
At 4 o'clock on a Friday.
And then he just quietly disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm actually with you, Brian. I think this is because things are changing, and what he does at Apple is not what they really need anymore, and so he's ready to move on and do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word.
All right, so now we just have to wait for the official word from Apple to come out that he's retiring, and my guess is that – that will be coming very soon. And we are out of time yet again. So, Kelly, thank you for joining me today.
Of course.
And Brian, thank you for showing up with your real fedora.
Yeah, see?
And thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week. Head on over to casper.com/TDO. I love my bed, and I want you to get a $50 discount on a bed that you're about to love, too. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.